Fri-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
Anna Glavinsky here, and I'm joined in the studio by our Erasmus students who are going to be saying goodbye, I believe. It's the end of their stint here at Talk Radio Europe, and they're going to be flying back to cloudier climes. and I'm going to find out exactly how their experience has been, and we can all learn a little bit more about the Erasmus programme. Zoe, I believe,
yep.
And Mark. Hello.
Hello.
So, you guys, this isn't actually your first time speaking live on the radio, is
no.
it? How much have you been getting involved sort of with programmes and trying your hand at a bit of presenting?
So, our first week, we were sitting in on some of the shows just to see what kind of format they use over here compared to at home. And then, eventually, we got slotted on to do the morning show with Dave, which was really fun, really high energy.
Yeah, he did.
So, I really enjoyed that.
And then,
yesterday, I was on Women Talk with Hannah, which was educational.
Did you learn something? What did you learn?
Well, it was more so we were all giving our opinions on certain articles, so I felt very smart. Like, the only way to put it, you had to give some thought to your words.
Okay, and you felt like you knew what you were talking about, which
in some topics, yeah.
It's a nice position to be in. And you said that you were comparing it to the way that things work at home. So what sort of stuff have you been doing back in Ireland? What programme are you on? What are you studying?
Well, we're in the Ballyfermot College doing radio production and programming, which is a very, I guess, in-depth course. So when we came over here, it wasn't such as we're kind of going into the deep end for the first time. We sort of already knew what was happening. And this was just a great experience to get to Skillshare with people, see people in the industry, put it into practice. So it was great in that sense. But I think both of us have been doing it for 2+ years in Ballyfermot. We've various experience across Dublin.
And how come you both decided, you know, as young people, future's bright ahead of you, to get into the world of radio, which is something that, you know, especially FM, in some countries FM is completely closing down, things are going digital. Where do you guys see the future of radio going? And, you know, do you think you've got a long-term future in this?
Well, when I was in secondary school, finishing up and eventually going on to further education and college, my teacher suggested I do something in journalism or media. So I went into a radio course and I think I just fit in. It was easy to talk on air. Like at the beginning, some of it does feel unnatural because you have to have a certain niche almost. So there's like people listening to you, but once you've settled and understood like what you want to do and what you want to speak about, then it's quite easy. And I think the future is big in Dublin, especially because they've got all these what are they called, DAB stations?
Yeah, so across Ireland, a new network of radio stations, digital audio broadcasting has just recently been approved. So we're going to have a lot more radio in Ireland.
Wow,
that's
exciting.
It's not pulling back. You know, Zoe's right. Ireland's very different to any other country in the fact that radio hasn't just stayed a popular medium, but in fact, it's become more popular than ever, mostly thanks to radio stations over there sort of not defying the online invasion, as it might be called, but embracing it. Every station has extremely popular brands and social media, and all the content there is still very much in Irish people's favour. You know, they love listening to radio. A good example would be, we've taken a lot of Ubers when we're over here. Every Uber we've went into, they play Spotify. Now, if you go to Ireland, you go to a taxi, you go to an Uber, while they're playing the radio. And that's just a small, I guess, difference of life, is that people are still very much dependent on radio in Ireland.
Fair. Okay, that's interesting. So a different culture. And also, just to get you to know you guys better as individual people, you know, some questions I'll ask to one of you, some to both of you. But it's just, I want to pick up on what you said about, you know, you've got to find, as a presenter, you've got to find your voice, find your niche.
Yeah.
What areas are you most drawn to? Where would you like to see yourself heading in?
So at the beginning, I was leaning more into the presenting side, because from what I've seen from being in stations, it's kind of your honour and you get to do what you want, you get to speak, you can get to choose your topics. But I'm leaning more towards the production side of things and the behind the scenes. It's more stable. Because back home, if you don't have like full-time employment, it's hard to apply for like a mortgage or apply for anything like that. So I think I'd go into production just for the safety. But as I'm still young, I'll definitely be like jumping around doing a few presenter jobs because it's fun to have a personality on air. It's fun.
So you've got your head screwed on your shoulders. You know, you're planning for the future, but also hoping to have a bit of fun as well. You know, not just be too responsible and sensible about it. And what about you, Mark? What's your area?
I suppose it's also the same. I'm sort of more in the production side of things. I've been in radio. What I think is a long time. 2020 was the first time I was on radio. I was during quarantine and I created my own online radio stations.
Cool.
So I've been presenting for a long time, and what feels like a long time because I'm young. It's in fact it's, you know, compared to some people in the industry who've been here for 30 years, I'm a fly on the wall in the corner. But I feel I've been doing it a long time, so. Really, what my theory always has been is I want to keep doing as much as possible, going from station to station, learning. This has been a great experience as well. You know, not only are we broadcasting abroad, we're living abroad. And it promotes such an independence and it gives you such a hunger, not just to settle for what you know is out there, but try find something new. So, of course, radio presenting, I love that. But I'd love to travel. And I'd love to see how radio is taken in different cultures. And the end goal would be my own production company.
Wow. Ambitious.
It is. I mean, I think that's the one thing you have to keep as a presenter. Because so it kind of hit it on the head. You know, there is a lot of personalities in radio. You're going to have to change that, especially if you go work with the bigger brands.
Yeah.
The only thing you really ever have that is truly yours is your ambition. So you have to keep it. You have to keep it. Always down the line in that tunnel, because you are going to have to change a lot of yourself sometimes to be what is classified as a success in this industry.
And fight, I guess, have that motivation, that drive to like keep pushing forward.
Because for our studies, we did 2 years in presenting and production. So we've actually gotten a lot of experience back home. But now when we go into our final semester this September, it'll be media management. So we're going to have a broader view on where we kind of want to go. Because we've gotten our experience, we've learned the gist of it. Mm-hmm. And now we'll have something more... focused.
Yeah, okay, another string to the bow almost, as it were. And now tell me a little bit more about the Erasmus programme, because it's actually been around for ages, since back when I was studying, but I never really fully understood what it was, something to do. It's like an exchange programme, more or less, or?
Yeah.
Someone explain it better than me.
It is. It's run by the European Union, and I suppose it's done in a way to... let young people know that there's more out there, that it's not just, you know, it's not just Spain, it's not just Ireland, it's not just France. It's to encourage, you know, travelers, to encourage that, hey, you have this passport here that lets you go all around the place, so just don't stay in the one place. And the great thing, it isn't just applying to us in radio, it's applying to nearly hundreds of courses, you know, across photography and nursing, architecture. You can really go anywhere with it, and we're lucky we came to one of the sunny spots. in our course alone, there's also placements on the other side of Spain, in Finland, in Malta. So really, you could go anywhere and do anything with it. And
but do you get to choose, or do they tell you?
They tell you. The thing
it's a
about
lottery.
It is a bit of a lottery, and you have to apply for it, and it's not just a thing that, you know, you decide to do in a week. Like, it's a month-long process where you put in an application, you talk to your teacher, and your teacher has to talk to the station and say, hey, would you be interested in taking on these people? Then you have to get briefed by the principal and the vice principal.
And then you've got your interviews. We had to send video interviews of kind of who we are and what we're doing. But it's everyone in your class. It's not just the two of you. But it's literally everyone. So it's you don't even know if you get picked until, like...
And who are you getting picked by? Is it by the company that you're applying to work for, or is it by the Erasmus program people?
So basically what happens is you put together your CV and your slideshow saying, hey, this is why I want to do this, and your CV gets sent off to the employer, and the employer says, yeah, these two people would be, you know, a good suit. And then you end up heading over there, and it's really good. And it's not always about, I think a lot of people think when you're sent abroad, oh, it's about learning how to do the job, but it's a lot more than that. The Erasmus program is about promoting that independence, and that doesn't just apply to one industry. You know, how many 20-year-olds can say they've been abroad and lived abroad, not really dependent on anybody, you know, especially in the market that is so expensive, you know, like most people, young people in Ireland aren't moving away from home till 27, 28 nowadays. So how many 20-year-olds can say, yeah, we've been abroad, we've lived abroad, and now we can take that forward going home.
It's life skills rather than just, you know, exactly applying it to your course. And so what has the experience been like? You know, you've come to sunny Spain. We can't deny that it's beautiful.
I think it was a great experience. I've learned a lot. I've learned more so what it's like to kind of be alone in a foreign country and learning how to go from A to B if you're working somewhere and kind of learning about the culture in a different place. So I think it's really benefited me, and I'll take a lot away from this when I eventually go back home.
Have you been in any situations, you know, problematic situations that you've had to think on your feet and find ways to? I mean, we were just locked out the studio for 20 minutes, but when you turned up earlier on there.
The only, I'd say, problematic things here would be the traffic or maybe the roads. There has been a lot of crashes. So sometimes if we're getting Ubers or anything, you're kind of, you're in the car and you're getting a bit worried. You're like, why am I in the car for an hour? Why are we diverting roads? But it's usually just traffic problems. So that's, I wouldn't say there's been any major problems.
No, there is a thing of, it's more unconsciously, but when you're at home in Ireland, you'd never think anything of the 20-minute walk.
Oh, yeah.
You'd go, and the shop's made 20 minutes away, great, I'll be back in an hour. But here, when you go for a 20-minute walk, our apartments are 20 minutes away. We left today around 2-3 o'clock. Like 20, 25 degrees or something. So different, because you get dehydrated so quickly, you start sweating, everything just starts to melt down, and then suddenly you're thinking, well, now I can't talk, now I'm getting annoyed, then you're having arguments in your head. So like a 20-minute walk over here, it's actually kind of more deadly, because, so you mentioned as well, like you spent an hour or two at the pool. You wouldn't think of bringing water if you're going to a pool in Ireland, but here, if you're without water for somewhere when you're outside for an hour or two, it actually does become a serious issue.
It's been quite funny. I think we've learned a lot about each other as well. It's funny because Mark is a recluse to the sun. So usually when we do have to walk, luckily we've been getting lifts up and back by the receptionist, our queen, and she's blessed us. But sometimes if we don't get a lift, we literally are silently walking beside one another. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation, he's giving me nothing.
I'm locked out.
I'm fully focused
on survival. In that moment, I'm next to Bear Grylls, and he's giving me instructions on how to survive, and I'm trying to take it all
in. I'm asking what's the plans for today, and I'm just getting aired the whole way through. Yeah. I'm not getting a sense.
I can only get out yes. I believe that's the thing I get out most. In the walks is because the heat wears you down so much. And my favorite thing, I know you didn't ask this, but I gotta say it, my favorite thing about Spain is the midday naps.
Oh yes.
Yeah. We don't have, in fact, I wasn't an early, you know, investor in naps. I feel in my school time, in classes, I'd take naps the whole time. I'd get in trouble a lot, but never in Ballyfermot, of course. I was wide awake in those. I mean, the other school I went to. And naps here are nearly encouraged. And it's fantastic, because when you're getting to 2 or 3 o'clock in the day, it's the hottest point it is.
Yeah, the sun has, like, you can feel the effects of the sun, especially if you're coming from Ireland. We barely get the sun. Like, we're all vitamin D deficient, if that's the word. So you get, a bit of a headache, and you're kind of just drained. You're losing a piece of yourself when you have the sun for too long.
There is a nap room in the studio as well, so it's almost encouraged to take naps.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you call it a siesta, not a nap, that's the word. Yeah. Do you feel a bit vindicated? You're like, I've known this my whole life, but now I feel like I've found a place where they agree with me.
Yeah, because I've been a very early investor since I was 13, 14, napping in classes as a way to gain back energy after being worn down. And finally, I've come some place that appreciates my siestas.
There we go.
And it's nice. But it also tells you so much about the different culture here, because most places here don't open till 9, 10 nearly, when we'd be going shopping.
Oh, yeah, it's even everything's kind of late.
Something as McDonald's as well.
Oh, I was heartbroken to find out. I wanted to get a McDonald's breakfast, because tomorrow, it's basically our last day, we're going to be packing tomorrow. And I was like, right, we'll get up early, we'll get a McDonald's breakfast. It's right beside where we're staying. doesn't open till midday. There's no breakfast. Yeah. I was like, what are we meant to do?
Even something as dinner, or like we were out in San Pedro.
Yeah.
And most places don't even open till midnight, 1 a.m. And like that's the time we're winding down. Dinner really isn't until 9 or 10 o'clock.
No. Yeah.
It's a total cultural shift, which has been really cool to experience as well. Like we're not here complaining about it. It's actually been
an eye opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where have you been going to the supermarket?
A few places. We've been going to the local one.
At the beginning we went to Aldi and Lidl, but we realised Aldi was miles away from us and we had to wait like 40 minutes for the Uber to pick us up, because we did like a huge shop when we first came here. We were like, oh, we're gonna order food, we're gonna cook. Mm-hmm. Well, it was Mark cooking, not me. And then we went to Lidl and stuff, and then we went to what's called Mercadona.
Yeah. I love that place.
Love Mercadona. Yeah. I basically live in Spain because of Mercadona.
And I love all of the pharmacies. I love going to a pharmacy in Spain. I just love going to the pharmacy in Spain.
They're on every corner, to be honest. So finally, just wrap it up. It's your final day, your final thoughts. What are you going to be taking back with you? Gifts probably, but you know, I'm thinking more philosophical than that.
I think we're taking back this fresh attitude is one thing, and then the other thing is it kind of a belief system that's been instilled in us now, because it's daunting coming to another country. It's daunting coming to another station to have, you know, these people possibly listening to you. And then, you know, you're going against colleagues who've been 15, 20 years in the business. It can be quite intimidating. So I think, you know, if we're looking at it from our own headspaces, I think we're leaving here with a lot of confidence that not only have we come over here and survived, we weren't kicked out or anything. We're also leaving with the idea that, we can not only live alone, we can work in a new environment, we can survive in a new culture. So we're leaving with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I would say I've learned that I can literally talk to anyone, because I think before this, me and Mark went to college for 2 years together, but I wouldn't have said we were really close. It was just short conversations, but we've bonded over the trip. So it's nice to know that you can lean on someone else when you're in the same situation, or if you're feeling whatever way about a situation, and it's just nice that you can like have someone else
and find common ground and make friends with people that perhaps you wouldn't have crossed paths with.
And it's been wonderful to meet all the presenters here. They've been so helpful and so lovely to literally both of us. Like anything we asked or anything we wanted to do, they'd let us do it and accommodated us, so it's been really, really fun.
Well, I'm really glad that you've had a great experience here at Talk Radio Europe, and I've only heard great things about you guys as well, so I think it's been just like a really wholesome and fulfilling experience for everybody, not just for you, but I'm really glad that you have enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining us and have a great trip back.
TRE.